Everybody like to call the meeting to order. And let's start with a roll call as normal. We have Ms. Dalton.
Here.
And Ms. Glasper.
Yes.
Mr. Jones.
Here.
Mr. Foster.
Here.
Ms. Gorman.
Here.
Mr. Malone.
Present.
Ms. Coon.
Present.
Ms. Harris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Mr. Michael is here. I believe that's everybody, correct?
What am I doing?
You used to be chairman.
Everybody's
I know
here.
That.
Fantastic. Next item on the agenda is approval of the Grants Committee minutes from our February 11th, 2019 meeting. I trust everybody has had a chance to review those. Are there any additions, subtractions, or modifications?
So moved.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed. And the motion carries. Thank you very much. Next is any public comment? Hearing none, we will move on to new business. Our first item under new business is the approval of bills and purchase request report. I believe everybody, those were sent out with the normal agenda. Is there any questions on those? Hearing no questions, I would entertain a motion to approve the bills and purchase request report for March.
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Dalton.
Second
by Mr. Foster. Last chance to make any comments? None. And we'll do a roll call vote. Ms. Dalton?
Yes.
Ms. Glasper?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Ms. Gorman?
Yes.
Ms. Malone?
Aye.
Ms. Coon?
Yes.
And Ms. Harris?
Yes.
Passes unanimously. Next item on the agenda is the Madison County Purchasing Department request for community development, which three employees will attend a six-day Economic Development Institute course in Indianapolis, Indiana, and that amount is for $5,475. Give us a little background.
So it's a part of a ongoing program, so we can take all of the classes online except for the speech. But it's part of a program that once you get through it, you also have to have a certain amount of time working in economic development, but then you can set some certification and become a professional, a nationally recognized designation. And so we've taken two online courses so far, plus the basic course that we went through last year back in May, I think it was. So we just can work on this and increase our skills and our knowledge.
And who are the three?
James Hammond.
Okay. Do you have to take continued education each year on this? So
I think
once you become a certified CECD, I think there are a workshop out there.
And what fund is this paid out of? You guys are talking about that.
And is that cost for all three people to go to the class and for hotel?
No, that's just the course itself.
This is just the course.
For
the course. And then what's the...
Two actual courses.
What's the estimated total in for all three of you to go?
About $9,500. So the bulk of it is the actual two portions.
So that's 4,000 for hotel. How long is a class?
Four and a half days, but we're in Indianapolis.
So it starts on Sunday, like
3:30 to 7,
and then Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, like 3:30 to 7.
Welcome to my world.
Credit analysis in the It's beautiful in Indianapolis this time of year.
I have that.
Is this something that will open us to additional grant
opportunities, or besides being able to say you have the certification, what will it do for them? I don't know that it would bring more grants necessarily, just make those better prepared to work with site selectors, work with our communities, and help them as they work on economic development projects.
Did John Herzog have his certification?
Yeah.
Just 35 years of experience.
Yeah. In 35 years, we won't be able to.
Any other questions? And the chairman has signed off on this too, so that's the required, so required of any travel, I think the chair first signs off on it, so he's also approved. Hearing no further questions or comments, I would entertain a motion to approve the three employees to attend the 6-day Economic Development Institute course in Indianapolis, Indiana.
So I'll move.
Second.
One more question. It is in the budget, right?
Yes.
We had a moved by Mr. Jones, seconded by Ms. Warren. All right. We'll do a roll call vote on this. Ms. Dalton?
Yes.
Ms. Glassberg?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Ms. Warren?
Yes.
Ms. Malone?
Aye.
Ms. Coombs?
Yes.
And Ms. Carey? All right. Motion carries unanimously. Our next item on the agenda is our immediate emergency appropriation resolution to amend the fiscal year 2019 host fee grants budget and approve the grant to the City of Wood River for a combined sewer overflow project for an amount of $100,000. And let the record show that we also, I didn't introduce them, I didn't say they were here, but we got Mr. McCray, Mr. Wesley, and Ms. Dutton here with us. And Ms. Dutton does represent, I believe, the majority of Wood River. So this is actually in her district. Just so everybody, if you want to ask any direct questions at all, Chrissy could probably give personal testimony to why this is needed. But I believe Mr. Brendel's here. Want to give us a little bit of an update on this?
Yes, this grant is to leverage funds from the Corps of Engineers. The Corps of Engineers has a combined sewer overflow grant that they've come out with, and this is very rare. It doesn't happen very often. We're one of the few areas in the whole United States that was participated in this grant. And potential is up to like $15 million over 3 years in three phases. And I think each phase is about $5 million worth of funds. So the City of Wood River have come up with, what's that magic number?
I think it's like $3.8
million. So what we're doing is we're granting them $100,000, and they'll pay for their portion of it. But it's leverage, a large amount of money for their combined sewer, combined sewer separation, which is also something that's part of our municipal program.
I'm sorry, did you say $100,000 or $500,000?
The grant's for $100,000. But the potential, I mean, the amount of the grant from the Corps of Engineers is like $5 million for each phase, up to like $15 million.
So, yeah,
confused.
I think I can.
It did say $5 million.
So, when the Planning and Development Committee, Gray and I both sit on, first debated this, the project cost at the time was expected to be $20 million. So, then their match was going to be around $15 million. So, they had asked for $500,000. When the numbers, I think, came in later on, the project cost is more about $14.8 million. So you'd see that on the Wood River document as opposed to the planning development memo. So that's why the numbers have kind of been revised down. And the thought was you could do this every year, $100,000 or $500,000 would have been more like $167,000 every year for 3 years. We've said we're willing to give you a one-time of $100,000 with no guarantee of any future installment at all.
Yeah. We've explained to them that if they come back for the next phase, they have to come back next year and ask again. But for this year, right now, $100,000.
But this will help them leverage the $5 million.
Yes.
Okay, because the mayor called me and that's what we spoke about. Yeah.
And from my perspective, I think Ray and I, like you said, were on the committee. I was against it at first just because I didn't realize the rarity of obtaining this type of grant, but I think it's one of three or four places in the whole United States that got it. And then even within Madison County, there's actually only three cities, which I didn't know this, that even have a combined sewer and water. And the other two either aren't capable of doing it now or don't qualify. So Wood River is the only place in Madison County that actually this would apply to. So no other city could come actually.
Who are the other two?
Alton,
Grant City. Alton, of course, is selling their system to
American Water.
And Grant City wasn't prepared to go forward. Wood River had their ducks in a row ready to move forward with this because they're currently doing projects. They have been for some time. So, yeah, they were willing to go with it and do all the paperwork that was required.
So this is a one-time grant, but we won't be doing it again, are you saying, or what?
There's a chance.
Depending on who's on the committee, if we're all here next year, we could be asked for the same thing again in future years, but that doesn't mean there's no legality to getting
there. There's nothing to connect us to next year. They can come back and ask us again, you know, for the next phase. They can come back the following year for the next phase. But, you know, this is just a one-time shot.
I anticipate they will, since they really...
I'm sure they will, but... You know, we can't guarantee that.
Well, and you said we were one of the areas picked. Mm-hmm. What did we do differently to get picked? Or what did we do well? I mean,
well,
didn't get to...
came down to me from the Corps of Engineers. I stayed in constant contact with them, and they called and said we have an opportunity that's coming from the federal government for combined sewer over four projects, and they presented for this area, for the St. Louis area, and they were accepted. Don't know if it's because we're in the Mississippi River watershed that was the reason for it, but hey, I'm not going to argue anytime.
Well, I'm not either, but
yeah.
I guess what I'm asking is if we knew and then we could leverage that other places.
Yeah.
I mean, we obviously did something to get the opportunity, unless that was just a gift horse.
Right,
is this part of the $95.4 million that was just to go?
No. I think you were talking probably about the revenue.
Right, totally different.
Yeah.
Why is this a grant and not a loan?
Yeah.
You want to answer that, or
it could be. You could try to somebody. Yeah,
I don't know.
And the discussion had come up, but I guess from Wood River's perspective, it just wouldn't really help them as much. So, and I believe the host fee fund. I'm blanking now. I think there's about $600,000 in it. You know, if that's true. And it has to be. There's nothing we can do with the money except use it for environmental things like these. So.
I don't know what
the money's there. It's not property tax money. It's from the tipping fees from the landfills. So that's where it's from.
But are there other projects or?
There are other things that they do, such as the like hazard waste removal, right? Home hazard waste, like paint and stuff, so they can set up a track.
Some of the other projects that are going to be yearly are the hazardous household waste collections, electronics. We're doing four electronics recycling collections this year. I'm pretty sure the environmental grant that our department issues also comes out of that.
So could it be divided up if they came back for this type of purpose in the hazard? If two municipalities came back for this purpose, could it be divided? Or not necessarily, evidently they're the only ones that have this purpose, but for the purpose of the hazard, or you said that this could be used for hazard?
Well, no, I'm saying we've got programs ready for
okay, that's, yeah, I get you.
That's completely separate from this.
Okay.
This is just...
So, do you mean that these three cities only qualify because they have a combined,
they're the only three that have combined sewers in the county?
Right, because as opposed to having a sanitary sewer and a storm sewer?
Yeah, their infrastructure is older, where the two run together.
They commingled them, and they treated everything. So what they did was they sent stormwater that ideally, back in the old days, right, would have been just dumped into the river. They combined it all, they combined their sanitary sewer and their storm sewers into one, so they're treating everything. They're treating a lot of water they don't have to treat.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so by separating these, they can send, you know, clean rainwater into the river.
Straight to the river.
And then only treat the,
yes,
the sanitary
sewer. And the place where we get into the biggest trouble is when we get these huge rainfall events where they're overwhelmed.
Right.
That's where they have the overflow events. And that's when you've got your sewer plants are overwhelmed, and then you're getting all that discharge into the river. Okay.
And that's why Alton's selling, they can't afford to do all the work.
So, did you say that this money is going to come from the tipping fees?
That's what the whole fund
is. That, okay, yeah. So like the same money that pays for like trash formation and all that?
Yeah, that's
mm-hmm. We used it too.
Except there's about two, right? So that's usually paid, I think, with the like the current year's funds. And there's also a large pool that's
being asbestos.
It's asbestos, so that's around 600,000 that this one comes from. And that pool has grown. You might be right, it's a large amount. Yeah, I like to pull it up.
Matt probably knows what that number is.
Right, he does.
So, and again, I guess to the question, why would we do a grant versus a loan? I mean, James, don't we have other projects where we usually do loans? And I'm okay with it, and especially if they're putting money toward it, and I'd like to kind of hear from Chrissy what she knows about it, but I'm just, this will, you know, are there going to be other times then where other municipalities are going to just want a grant and not want the loan?
That's possible. I mean,
probably.
If they come to us with a project, I mean, potentially.
David and I serve on the county development, and this came before us as well. With there only being three communities that were eligible for this federal grant, there's no outside chance that anybody else would be coming to us for a loan of this type, okay, or another grant of this type. This federal grant hadn't seen anybody in this area get it in 20 years. That's why it was such a big deal. We brought up the possibility that we could loan the city of Wood River at low interest the same amount of money, or the full $500,000. That didn't help them as much as the grant, because their plan B, and I asked this question, their plan B is to go out and borrow the money that they need to make up everything they need. So they're going to go out on the commercial market and borrow money.
To do this project?
Right.
Okay. And how much are they going to put up?
I think they have to put up 25% of the project cost, which they're estimating almost $15 million. So they're going to put up about 3.7.
And so it's $100,000?
They're going to put in $3.8 million. We would help out with $100,000 of that.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why we decided to give it to them as opposed to loan.
The city of Wood River is putting that much in?
3.8 million, yeah. Because it's hard to pass up 15, yeah. Or
yeah,
11.
That's probably the biggest thing is you're leveraging a huge amount of money for that. Because the one thing we didn't say, it's a 75-25 split, and that's almost unheard of.
Right.
I mean, that is very, very rare. Usually it's a 60-40 or 65-35. You never get that good a split. And the opportunity just doesn't come along. What you were asking, though, what if somebody else comes along? Well, there wouldn't be anybody, you know, for this particular type. If somebody came to us, you know, with another serious problem, it would have to be considered by the PD. You know, it would have to be addressed just like this would be as a separate item.
So we do this on the Transportation Committee, and you know, we leverage federal dollars with our local pot. And so it is a good idea. I mean, and like you said, I guess it makes sense. We're leveraging federal money the same way we do with highway projects. So we can have criteria, and in this case it's matching federal dollars, so I think it does make sense to leverage you're able to put up a relatively small amount of money and get back a whole lot more from the federal government at the end of this way. What's an element of that in your transportation?
Kristen?
I did speak to Mayor McGuire about this. She did reach out to me after the planning and development meeting, after others had asked her, and what if the Wood River County Board members think of this. We talked at length about it. She explained how rare it was and how this is a great opportunity. I told her anytime they need money from the county, if I can be of service, if you can do something, I appreciate what's going on. And she agreed. I just think it's a rare opportunity. I urge the whole county board to support this. I cannot be here next week for the full board meeting, but I'd like you all to know that it is an important and necessary project for Wood River, and if we can match that fund for them, I think.
I agree. I had probably the same conversation with him before the Planning and Development Committee, because I didn't know it was coming before Planning and Development. And I guess it's been obvious, but it's something that Wood River has to do. I mean, these communities have to do this. It's not something, hey, let's make this change.
Separate,
no, the EPA has told them, get it done or else. Because that's why Alton's bailing on their plant and selling it.
Yeah, that's one of the core objectives of the NS4 program,
right.
Is the separation of combined sewers. I think Clint's well aware of that, because he's been with the MS4 for some time, too. So, yeah, any chance we get,
it's great.
It is. I just
want
to also add,
you have to kill me now?
We all represent our community. We care about our own towns. And I don't think there's anybody on this county board that cares about Wood River as much as I do. It's my hometown. My family still lives there. We've been doing the flooding forever. Anything I can do to Wood River, I want to do that. And I just hope I can stress that to the full county board, that I speak for Wood River when I say we need this project. And, yes, the loan would be an option, but if we can match it with those funds that are made available for this very reason.
Mr. Pollard and Mr. King were also at the Planning Development Committee meeting, spoke with them earlier as well. So I believe they are the other, have a smaller portion. Were you going to say something, Mr. Pollard?
I don't have a problem. I really think we'll be money ahead in the long run. Eventually, it's going to end up, if we don't do it now, it's going to end up in our lab at a later date at a lot more money than what we're talking about now.
Final comments, discussions? Hearing none, then I would entertain a motion to approve the immediate emergency appropriation to the City of Wood River for a combined sewer overflow project from the host fee grant fund for approximate, or host fee fund for approximately $100,000.
So moved.
Okay, Ms. Dalton, second by Mr. Jones. All right, we'll do a roll call vote. Ms. Dalton?
Yes.
Ms. Glasper?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Aye.
Mr. Fossil?
Yes.
Ms. Gorman?
Yes.
Mr. Malone?
Aye.
Ms. Boone?
Yes.
Ms. Harris?
Yes.
Passes unanimously. All right, and then I think overall it's all right. I'll pull the next four items together, but we'll have, I believe, James will probably be the majority of their presenting here for our
first three are James.
Okay, Dave, I'm sorry.
I'm almost there.
All right, so then we'll do almost there.
And then the last one is
James. Okay, the last one, James. We'll do the next three together. It's a resolution authorizing to apply for a grant for the Emergency Solutions Grant. Then we have the Emergency and Transitional Housing Grant. And then the proclamation to end veteran homelessness in the County of Madison. Dave, do you have to take over?
So the Emergency Solutions Grant and the Emergency and Transitional Housing Grant are grants that the county's received for well over 20 years. The money from the Emergency Solutions Grant basically goes to assist people who are literally homeless, either living in a shelter or a street, and try to get them into their own apartment or house. We do that using two agencies in the county, the American Catholic Charity, and the American Catholic Relief. This also provides some staff costs for this hotline, a referral network, where folks are looking for housing or a housing crisis, call into our office, we do a basic assessment that tells us which door to knock on, far as the I did. And the emergency solution grant also provides some funding to the three emergency shelters in the county. That's the first county center. We've got the county group house for Mason Avenue. The emergency and transitional housing grant provides staff money for a program that I administer at our office. Basically, assisting 20 families who are either coming out of shelter or from their own elderly homes. Help with their rent, any other needs that they have to overcome barriers to success. So, for schooling to improve their skills, try to hook them up with Tony. Federal funding that we get about $260,000 for the beds. And I'm not sure if that's what it's worth, about $43,000. So that's the two grant applications. The third, the proclamation of investor homelessness. We're involved in a regional group called the St. Louis Area Regional Commission on Homelessness. And we have decided to make it our goal for the region to improve veteran homelessness by Veterans Day 2019. We have approximately, last week, 242 persons in the St. Louis metropolitan area who are veterans and are without housing. So we are all putting our efforts into ending homelessness for this one population. Hopefully learn a lot of good lessons so that we can be able to do homelessness for other populations, for chronically homeless, youth homeless, and families. The proclamation doesn't cost us any money. It's not bringing any additional funding. It's using our existing resources to really focus in on that one population. So we're asking that you support this. County General signed a proclamation which would really set up additional resources that we would have as far as that money, unfortunately, but resources from National League of Cities as well as the United States Area Council for Homeless. Happy to answer questions.
Yeah. The veterans contributing to aren't most of those on the Missouri side rather than Illinois? Because
Certainly. I mean, the population is in St. Louis, so naturally more than Missouri. I tried to get our number as of today and was not able to I can provide you with that number.
Do you have an estimate? Or
I really don't have it.
I mean, is it five people or is it of 240?
Last year, I believe, if memory serves me correctly, which is about as it always, we were in the city limits.
Yeah. I was going to say, because Mr. Reedy, when he talks about it, it sounds like it's not a serious problem. But
not terribly serious, but we might be making sure that we're better than we are.
So we did talk to the chairman about this, and he was willing to sign it, but he did want to go to the county board first.
Some, I assume the mayor's would have to be kind of officially involved in this, right? Because I assume they would probably be most likely in cities rather than in unincorporated Madison County.
Right.
That's correct.
But my programs cover everything.
Okay.
Well, cities don't really have their own department of human services, so to speak, to deal with this problem.
Right.
So we're going to be doing this coverage.
Right. It's all your.
So what is the mayor's challenge? So are all the mayors from Madison County signing this? Or?
No, I'm just asking for the county chairman at this point, because, like you just said, our department covers the entire county. I have
past mayors, but I've not spoken with them, so I need to keep some follow-up there. They're more than welcome to join the challenge. And why it's called the Mayor's Challenge.
Well, that's what
because
I
it came out of the community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the, like, St. Charles County, their chairman signed it. To some degree, it's sort of a promotional thing to say we're all committed to work together.
Wasn't there an event over in St. Louis launching this, which I was not able to attend? Did you someone go to that from you and Dave was there? Was the chairman there?
Yeah. I'm very supportive of this, but my question is, do organizations like the VFW or American Legion, do they get involved in this?
They are involved, certainly connected with the VA and with our Veterans Assistance Commission as well. Mm-hmm. There's a program that's called Supportive Services for Veteran Families that is basically my contact to the VA. Anytime we encounter a homeless veteran, they go straight to that SSDF program. And they're able to provide grants, other resources that they have, as well as tapping into whatever may be available. Another reason why we select this population was the VA, because the VA encompasses the entire federal metropolitan area, and so it's one service provider that we all have, that we can have that access to. Practically, we start to get into other populations and services presence, all of this.
Are the homeless vets that you encounter, are they from, are they typically combat veterans, or are they Vietnam, I guess Korea's probably a little too, so probably Vietnam era coming forward, and is there one segment that's more common than others, or anything that could...
I would have to get back to the SSDF folks.
I'm just curious. Yeah.
But there are a lot of Vietnam era veterans. For whatever reason,
It certainly went through a lot of trauma
and a lot of women as well. So,
are you working with all the local housing authorities, like St. Louis Housing Authority and Madison County and Alton, Granite, seeking possible placement there for some of these veterans?
Right. So one thing that I'm going to be working on in the coming months. Try to get the housing authority, especially Madison to give us preference points. And they already do for veterans, but give us preference for homeless. Otherwise, they're just languishing on a waiting list for
that's true.
A couple of years. If we can bump folks who are without housing up on that list, then that goes a long way to us.
Are you working with Grant with the VA? Sorry, from the VAC. So, will you bring this through county institutions meeting?
I am not. Oh. Above that.
I think that's one
thing.
Okay. Is that any
So, if I'm homeless, to get on a list for housing, it's a few years wait.
Yes, we give veterans preference, so we give preference for people who are employed.
And it might not be as bad if it's an individual person, because a lot of people on those waiting lists are looking for the 2-3 bedroom apartment.
We encounter a hardship with it.
Yeah.
Just a house
right.
Am I off here though? If I'm, say, a family of 5 and you don't have a 2-bedroom apartment, I'm taking your 1-bedroom and we're all sleeping on the floor.
So my understanding, does each child have to have his own room? Or?
No, typically you can have two in a room.
Right.
Based on square footage.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, alter the special.
But if that would be a family, let's say, for instance, a baby or children, like Erica said, it seems logical to even give them the warning. I mean, I'm not you. You know what I'm saying?
We have to follow housing quality standards, so
I mean, if you just have shelter, you wouldn't even care for the family.
But that back lot is nothing that's in our control. That is
the housing authority's back lot.
Any other questions about the proclamation and veterans? And then Dave, for the ESG and the ETH, I believe, is that right? Learning the acronyms here. Is this just authorizing you to apply? Is that right?
Correct.
So this is not committing funds right now, right?
Correct.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. Yeah, so obviously I mean, we have, I want to apply, no doubt. Any final questions for Dave? Is there any objection if we bring in all three of these together? Fantastic. And I would entertain a motion to pass the resolution authorizing the application for the 2020 Emergency Solutions Grant, for the 2020 Emergency and Transitional Housing Grant, and a resolution authorizing the proclamation to end veteran homelessness in the County of Madison.
So moved.
By Judy, second on the spot. Any final comments? We'll do a roll call. Ms. Dalton?
Yes.
Ms. Glassford?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Ms. Gorman?
Yes.
Mr. Malone?
Aye.
Ms. Coon?
Yes.
Ms. Harris? Yes. Passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. And then our last new business item, I believe, is the resolution authorizing park and recreation grants and the fact sheet. And I know James is here to present that. And Mr. McCray, you serve on the committee, too, that helps decide this, correct?
Yes.
That's what I thought as well. Thank you.
But James is the brains of the office.
Yep.
Oh, man. Is that on the recorder?
It's on. Yeah.
It's just the standard pep grant. It's our yearly annual allocation that we do. This year we're pumping out about 1,377,000 on top of that. We had a couple new applicants this year. Williamson came back for the first time in a long time, which was nice to see. $5 per capita, a minimum of $15,000 for the small communities, and it comes from 0.1% of your sales tax, and goes right back to the park system. Now the requests are throughout home. They're all good.
Huh? No, I agree. There's really, it's, if people have an opportunity to look at some of the projects that are completed with this, it really is, it's a great program, and I think really people let use these dollars really wisely, and we just had an opportunity to look at the fact that we have a bike path. It goes from Bethalto into East Alton, and we were able to leverage a PEP loan, the PEP grant money for 5 years, along with MBS, the Park District money, and it's made an incredible difference. I mean, it's an old abandoned railroad right away. It had been overgrown for 50 or 60 years. And it's not only a great bike path, but also improved the neighborhood, the drainage, and a number of other, aesthetics that surround it. So really improved the neighborhood as well. So some of these projects have really been, they've leveraged this money really nicely. And so it's a great program. I think it's really well utilized. We try to keep it, the criteria sort of between the white lines, because people tend to want to use it for general funds and things like that, but really you have to make sure that they're using it for to properly, for what the tax is designed for, and that's to improve the parks. And James always does a great job of making sure he really does.
So how much, and that comes, it's a 0.1%?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what do we, so that's all Madison County residents pay that? Mm-hmm.
On the ballot.
Right, in 2000.
It's been a while.
It was a long time ago. So how much do we get annually?
Well, I believe the way the district tax is set up, 50% goes to any PRD of the sales tax,
25% goes to St. Clair County, 25% goes to us. And our number actually just surpassed St. Clair County sales tax number. Typically, the past 5 years, 6 years, we've been at about 1.3 million. In years past, we've kept it smaller.
So we're paying a tax for a service we all agree on. That's a good thing.
Final question for James. Hearing none, can I get a motion to approve the resolution authorizing park and recreation grants?
So moved.
Take Mr. Jones, and then second by Mr. Malone. All right, and we'll do a roll call vote again. Ms. Mike, Ms. Dalton?
Yes.
Ms. Glassman?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Aye.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Ms. Foreman?
Yes.
Mr. Malone?
Aye.
Ms. Coon?
Yes.
Ms. Harris?
Yes.
Passes unanimously. Fantastic. And then I will send around, and under strict orders, that these all have to get signed. I messed up last time. So I got four of them that are going around. And then we'll have an administrative report, so employment and training.
So just a couple quick things. We're moving forward on our realignment with Jersey and Calhoun counties joining us. We had a meeting last week with four county board chairs where they signed all the needed documentation for the state, including letters that go to the state workforce board and the governor's office. So time frame, I still need to complete some administrative things internally as far as how we're providing services and all that to the state to go with this packet. It will be approved at the June state workforce board meeting. July 1, it will happen. So there's a government is doing this July 1. And the other thing I wanted to mention, February 21st, I had the opportunity to attend a meeting in St. Charles with Department of Labor Secretary Acosta. All six of the regional workforce areas were invited to attend. We all got our couple minutes to present two slides, one on some of the innovative projects we're working on in this area, and the second one part of our wish list with the Department of Labor and Leola. Our funding moving forward to 2020 is a reauthorization. So one thing that came out of it in our question and answer period was the secretary said he's been in many of these meetings in the last 2 years, and the first time he's ever been in one where there's bi-state cooperation like we have with our workforce group from the side of the river and some of these things. So it was good to hear. We're sort of trying to leverage that a little bit, looking at opportunities possibly for grants that would be region-wide now, so we're moving forward with that. So.
Thank you, Mr. Furman. Any questions for Tony? No, and I know Trudy always passes out a good succinct summary of her update. I don't know if you had anything to add to that.
Well, James wanted to talk about the solar grant that we're working on, so explain that to me.
So we actually had the opportunity to repurpose some old funding that we had. We had a grant called EECUD, the Energy Efficiency Community Block Grant. Conservation Grant, sorry. We ended up putting that out as a revolving loan over the past probably 9 years. And within the past 4 years, the revolving loan stopped coming. People just didn't see the need. So the Department of Energy asked us to come up with ideas and ways to try to spend that. We floated the idea to them that, hey, you know, we have a park grant. There's a number of parks in Madison County. Let's create a solar grant opportunity to get, you know, solar panels on restroom facilities, solar-powered scoreboards, things like that. We created the grant. It's been approved. The Department of Energy approved of our usage. And we hope to get that pumped out in March. Get applications from parks turned in by June, and we did focus by the PEP Commission as well to get some people that work in the park districts to get their feedback on it. They seem to like it. It's nothing.
Good. Nice job.
So I just have a couple things I'll point out. One, under weatherization, I just put in blue, our carpenter's contract is going to be there first. Return on the sign up in April. We have been asked to put that out, the carpenter's work out for bid. And so we're working on coming up with a RFP for that. And so that's a document that's going to be about this big, as you can see. So working on it, but it's slow process. This is what from Champaign comes. And then we'll have to get approved by the state before we can actually close out. So it won't be done before before time to sign that contract again. But it's in works and it's a slow moving process to get everything coordinated. And then working with Tony on several different things, right under the economic development piece. You'll see coordinating meetings with several of the warehouses. And then there's the agenda below that, the things that we are meeting with them about. They're being very receptive, talking to them about transit, Madison County Transit, also going to come in with us, the interchange out there, and funding for that, and then workforce development ideas and programs. So those are all scheduled and coming up. And then we had a great meeting with the North Point folks, the Vice President of North Point, Vice President of Economic Development for North Point, came and met with Tony and Zara and James and Sam and I, and just talked more about that project, their expectations, and just how they're going to get forward and how it's going to go with building that they're building. So it was exciting.
Their comment is, if they do poorly out there, it'll be 3,000 to 4,000 jobs. But if they do their usual big players, it's 7,000 to 10,000 jobs.
And the landlords work 200 of the 14,500 companies. So they're already working those industries and telling them that they've got a new location.
So they're the largest distributor, and they actually took out their first project permits today.
Any questions for Trudy? Final comments? Erica, you got a question?
Looks like one was coming. I was just curious, since our employment rate is down, do we anticipate people moving to our area to fill these jobs, or do we have people already here?
I think that's part of the conversation.
Yeah, with the transit people, we've had some conversations. So North Point came in and they used some type of scaling system to determine workforce availability. I would assume 100 is probably the scale. This area rated as 80. In comparison, they have a big development over by the airport. That area in North St. Louis was like 130. So there's been conversations over the last, before my time, I think, about bus lines from North St. Louis to bring people over here. So that was part of the conversation we had with MCP. They're a little concerned about the cost of that.
Yes, they're very concerned about the cost. I just got off the board.
So they're applying for grants to get vans, to do like van pooling. So the idea is possibly to do some type of pilot project with van pools from over in North St. Louis. What the demand is, if it truly is an untapped market. So, yeah, I mean, I think their numbers show that like 40% of the people currently working in those buildings out there, Madison County is 40% of St. Clair County, and
yep,
the other 20% are scattered throughout,
yep,
east and north.
Mostly Madison, St. Clair County.
Yep. So, but again, the question is, are you not tapping into North St. Louis because the transportation isn't there? So, you know, it's an ongoing conversation.
Well, and the great difficulty, too, is their shifts.
Yep. Well, and that's one of the conversations.
You know, when you're telling people they come to work at 2:30 in the morning, it's kind of hard to run a 40-footer over North St. Louis and hope you fill it up.
Well, that's one of the conversations that they want to have with the people out there, starting to try to standardize shifts, because they did tell us
the turnover rate is very high.
One of their fullest buses, they send them down to Jefferson Park Metrolink Station, and they started like 3:30 in the morning. Those early morning buses are the ones that are full.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, well, they've changed their schedules tremendously, tried to accommodate the warehouse district. But
we also had a conversation with the Port District and Houston Park and some of the warehouses that have a way that you can sort of transfer the program and marketed to the small community, District 1 of high school, maybe I'm not looking for college, but we can put them in a training program, get them a job, and then, you know, work with them through some of the other things like our first time home buyers program to get them engaged and become, you know, college residents.
There are many conversations happening right now in Edwardsville specifically about that. We no longer have the program, like the welding kind of stuff. And so they're talking about how to either bring that back or provide other opportunities for students who aren't perhaps going to want to afford a university. So,
that conversation is happening everywhere, not just there. There's some state legislation that has been proposed to try to encourage high schools to go back looking at those kind of things.
And there's also legislation being proposed that gives schools flexibility so those students can go to Lewis and Clark during the regular school day and take welding.
Do you have one more question? Different subject. Do you still have the program for, say, for instance, in the summer high school kids?
It's very limited. Because as the money is shrunk down, plus the other issue became when the legislation switched, it went from focused on in-school youth to out-of-school youth. So our funding stream is only 25% of the youth funds we receive can be spent on in-school youth, which were more of the summer youth programs, kids who were out for the summer. And now 75% have to be spent on out-of-school youth, so kids who have GEDs or even kids who have graduated and aren't really doing anything. So
you don't really have much opportunity there?
No, we really don't at this point. So.
Any other comments? No. Old business, there's none. Our next meeting then is Monday, April 8th. With all that said, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Foster, seconded by Ms. Kuhn. All in favor?
Aye.
I believe everything is signed.